You are listening to the Punk News Podcast 127, 382, 971. No, it's episode 541. That's an inside joke for three people on this show that none of the listeners will get. Let's go. It is the Punk News Podcast, once again, coming back at you. A lot in the news this week. We're going to be talking about Andrew WK. We're going to be talking about Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We're going to be talking about Fest, Slater Kenny. We're going to be talking about Suck, the band from Germany that blew me off, but I still love. We're going to be 7 seconds, TFL, and a whole lot more on this week's episode. And more, are you ready to talk about the many, 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 many stories we have to talk about on tonight's episode?
Hell yeah! Bring on the news!
And we are also here with Howie Bullitt. Do you like a super packed episode of news, or do you like when we have like five stories that we just kind of pad them out, you know, talking about like my dry cleaning or whatever?
I like both. It always, as I've mentioned, it always surprises me that I feel like the episodes where we have the least news to talk about end up being the longest ones, which I hope that's enjoyable for listeners and not like grating. But let's get into the news, man. I'm into it.
Okay. Big things happening in the podcast this week and next week. We're going to be having an M More special. I think next week M More is going to be playing some of our favorite new and newish stuffs. And either next week or the week after, fan comedian Chris Gethard coming in. So we're excited about that. I called up Chris. I said, Chris, come on the Punk News Podcast. And he said, no, I'm not going to come on your little podcast. I said, please, Chris, please come on. I need you. I need you bad. And so Chris will be on talking about his brand new special, which I'm excited about. If you've seen any of his other specials, they are rad. And if you haven't, check him out. And you can also check out a lot of his spoken word albums, not spoken word albums, his comedy albums on the Don Giovanni Bandcamp, I believe. So check those out. We're excited to have the Punk News listeners know who he is. I'm excited to have Chris in either next week or the week after. We'll see regarding. I know he's flying to Netherlands, then he's flying to like Dubai, then Maldives. Like
he's flying to Canada to do a week of work. But he has to be there for 3 weeks because their COVID restrictions are so strict that he has to spend 2 weeks sitting in a hotel room.
What's up with that, M?
And then 1 week actually working, and then he gets to come home. It's completely crazy. And yet, you know, I'm not complaining about it. I think COVID restrictions are probably a good idea, but it is a little insane that he has to go sit in a hotel room for 2 weeks by himself. Just to do 1 week of work. It's the ratio of sitting around to working is not a good one, but he's excited to go anyway, so it'll be good.
What's up with that, Em? What's up with that?
Yeah, Em. Em, can you pull some strings? Can you pull some strings for a vaccinated comedian that maybe he doesn't have to just go sit in a hotel room for by himself for 2 weeks?
I'll try my best.
Great.
Is he allowed to go out to the ice machine, or he literally has to be in like the room the whole time?
I don't know about the ice machine, but like he's not allowed to use like the gym, which makes sense. If you want people to quarantine, they obviously shouldn't be going using a gym. No. But he's not allowed to like use the gym or the pool or anything. Like he really just does mostly have to stick to his room.
Yeah, this was a jail.
It does a little bit, right?
Damn. He might come back like totally buff and he's got like all these tattoos, you know?
Well, I was telling him they have like they I know there are people that design workouts around like hotel room stuff. Like I'm sure you can look it up on YouTube. Like they'll use like the iron, like all the dumb things you can normally find in a hotel room, like the iron, like you'll use that as like a weight and like you'll use the side of the tub to like do your push-ups and stuff. So I'm like telling him maybe he should like, yeah, get super into like hotel specific workouts.
But what if he comes back and he's like converted to some religion and he's like, you know, inside, you know, my eyes were really opened.
I'll tell you what's going to happen is he's going to come back and he's going to tell me the plot of like the Winter Soldier series. He's going to like watch a bunch of bad TV. That's what's actually going to happen.
Well, stay tuned. Chris Gethard this next week or the week after. And Moore's radio special next week. So we got a lot happening on the Punk News podcast. Let's hit one mail and then we will play a tune and then we will come back and do the news. This is from Bjarte, who wrote in last week and we played one of his songs. Bjarte had some words for me that I disagree with, but here's what Bjarte says. Hey guys, thanks again for another great episode with lots of interesting thoughts on relevant topics. Also, thanks again for playing one of my songs. I really appreciate that, and I promise I'm not going to ask again for a real long time. And he had like an emoticon of like a cat with long hair. I don't know what he's trying to communicate with that. I did, however, feel compelled to write in regarding your discussion concerning the use of the word abuse and violence. My two cents, and it's interesting that someone in Norway uses the word two cents. I don't think they have cents in Norway, do they?
No, but I guess that's the thing. Like, people in other countries are so good at English that they use, like, our weird idioms, and, like, we don't even know how to speak other languages, like, at all. We don't even know how to say, like, hello, where's your restroom? It's... terrible.
When it blows my mind, like when I lived in Egypt and like someone would be speaking in Arabic and they'll just like an English word in the middle and they keep talking, you know?
Yeah.
My two cents isn't regarding the case you discussed itself, but how abuse and violence can also be non-physical. I come from a childhood with bullying, and I swear the worst wasn't the physical part. In fact, I can hardly remember it. The worst part was the humiliation, the neglect, and the constant underlying threat. The lack of love and not being seen by someone close to me really has given me scars all my stupid fistfights can't even begin to compare with. I do agree that saying a rude word isn't abuse or violence, but by simplifying as you did on the last episode, you are sort of adding to the problem. I think it's super important that you guys discuss these issues, but I wish you weren't so black and white in some cases, because it is not for the victims of verbal abuse, bullying, and other types of violence and abuse. As Hallie stated, these are complicated times, and this is a complicated issue that needs to be handled delicately and with respect, in my opinion. As I've written before, my main occupation is working with people in various capacities. Drug addicts are often victims of neglect in close relations. Prisoners are the same. Punks are the same. We are all the same, and if we're going to get better, we need to have these discussions in an open manner. I could go on and on about this, but I won't. Thank you for your time. Bjarte from Norway. I agree with most of what Bjarte says, and I certainly agree that there can be non-physical abuse, emotional abuse, neglect, and so forth. However, I do disagree. I don't think the word violence should be applied to non-violent circumstances. Abuse is a good word. And also, like I said, just because someone is a dick doesn't mean they're being abusive. But sometimes people are abusive non-physically and so forth. I just think it's important to use these words specifically in such a sensitive area, because we want to make sure we're correctly addressing the issue and correctly talking about the issue and not blending different issues together and to make things more confusing, and also in an effort to make sure people aren't getting, I guess, more punishment than they deserve, but also to make sure people aren't getting less punishment than they deserve. So I agree with everything that Bjarte says in that there is certainly non-physical abuse, and certainly non-physical abuse can be extremely damaging. But I don't think violence should be extended to non-physical. And I don't think just because someone is a dick, it means they're abusive. And I think people do throw that word around a little bit too loosely in 2021. That's my opinion. I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor in that area or in any area. But that's my opinion. Em and Hallie, I don't know if you have a response or if we should just keep moving. Up to you.
No, I really do have a response. First of all, like, I love this. I love this listener, and I love that he writes in, and I really, really appreciate that, like, that really personal response to our conversation, you know? And like, he's absolutely right. Like, sometimes conversations do end up being kind of black and white. I think, you know, what happens a lot of times on this podcast is that we go into it thinking we're talking about music. And because so much, because like the whole world is so politicized right now, we end up talking about politics, I think, a lot more than we ever really planned to. And sometimes the conversations, like, they kind of verge into like waters that I don't think we were really planning on like finding ourselves swimming in. And so I know for me, sometimes I leave our conversations being like, oh man, you know, why did I say that and not that? Like, I don't even know if that's how I actually feel about that. It's just, I feel like a lot of times like heavy subjects kind of just like, it's like we're flying down the highway of the podcast and then suddenly like a big issue will just kind of pop up and we're just kind of like trying to talk about it on the fly. And, you know, I think we do our best. I don't know if, you know, I think like if, I had like more time to really think of, like if I'd had more time to really think about that particular conversation really in depth, if I'd known how in depth we were going to get into it, I would have just organized my thoughts around that subject a little bit better. But, you know, I did the best we can. And I'll say one thing that I like about his letter is that it's just, it's like, it's written with such a respectful tone, right? Like, he didn't write in and be like, F you, like, I hate how, you know, you're wrong. Like, and so I feel like that is so great. And one thing I really enjoy about having conversations with you guys is that I do feel like differences of opinion come up, and I always feel so respected by you guys if we have a difference in opinion. And I really, really dearly hope that you feel the same about me, because we're in a time, right? We're living in a time where people can't really, are really not managing having differences of opinion very well, by and large. And so, whatever. Yeah. I just like, I really appreciate that he wrote in. I really appreciate that he expressed his opinion in a respectful manner. And I yeah, like, point taken. Definitely. You know?
Well said. And did you want to respond to that or not? See, the weird thing is when I say, like, when I say something, like, sometimes we'll get to, like, difficult stuff and I'll say, do you want to respond or not? And it's almost like, well, now you have to respond. How do I sail the waters by genuinely asking someone if they do want to respond or it's not for them? How do I do that? Or, see, like, I almost, like, didn't give, like, Em the option to say something there because like, she didn't jump in. So I'm like, well, maybe Em doesn't want to talk about it. I don't want to put her on the spot. But then I'm like, well, if I don't give her the option to talk, then maybe she thinks I'm blowing her off. How do I sail those waters? How?
I think just asking, like, you know, do you want to chime in? I think that works. Personally, I like that because it's like, okay, yeah. You know, because I'm just trying to collect my thoughts and come up with, like, something that sounds right. You know what I mean? So I think that's good. I think what you're doing is good.
You see, Hallie, unlike myself, where I would just start talking over the other person when I had something to say, Em will wait until people are finished talking and then respond.
I know. Em has good manners.
It's the Canadian-ness. That's it. It's just like, it's ingrained.
Em, what do you got?
Okay. Well, I appreciate the letter for sure, and I think that he raised very, very good points, and it's always nice to have like a personal connection and everything, so appreciate that, and thanks for sharing your story and everything. Like, I agree, sometimes it's hard to come up with what you really mean to say. Like, it's hard to vocalize it sometimes, like, find the right words and come across as you want to. So I definitely find that, like, the odd time on the podcast. But, you know, I think that abuse in all its forms is very important that we do talk about it. We do have discussions so that people who are in an abusive relationship in any like sense of the word, like if it's physical or emotional or verbal, they can recognize it and hopefully, find something like in what we're talking about, and hopefully that helps. Those are my thoughts.
Well, there you go. And Moore's thoughts, and well said. Let's play a song and come back. I'm going to play a song by 10cc. Hallie Bull, what was the hit of 10cc?
I don't know. You're saying 10cc, and I'm just thinking of when I used to give my cat insulin injections because she had diabetes. And I remember I had to pay attention to the cc in the needle. Educate me. Who are we talking about here?
10cc were a very famous English rock band. They became most famous in the late 70s with the soft rock ballad "I'm Not in Love." And like many of the blues rocks or bands, like they started out kind of hard rock, and then like sort of like Genesis, they kind of just became like, or even like Rod Stewart, they just kind of became like adult contemporary somehow and became really huge at that point. And I always thought 10cc was just kind of like a soft rock, adult contemporary kind of band. And then out of the blue, I stumbled on this track called Rubber Bullets. Rubber Bullets is off the first 10cc album. And 10cc started as a glam rock band, glam rock in the sense of Sweet or Slade. And there's this song called Rubber Bullets, and it blew my mind. It's arguably proto-punk. It's about a ride at the cell block, and listen to these like the lyrics are like the police are shooting the prisoners with rubber bullets, and one of them says the other one, "I wish I could use real bullets." And it's like, this is crazy, like 1973, and like 10cc who sang "I'm all out of love," like they're singing about like it's basically the same as Dead Kennedys' Police Truck. Like, listen to these lyrics. This is 10cc from their first album doing Rubber Bullets. I'm telling people, it'll blow your mind.
Padre, you talk to your boy.
And we're back, and that was 10cc, and I hope it blew your mind. And now let's talk about some news that will blow your mind. The Rock Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, has announced its latest inductees. And the latest inductees were, well, people had mixed reactions. The latest inductees were very surprising to some people, and I will tell you what they are in just a moment. Foo Fighters got in. Foo Fighters.
I think I have it. Oh, yeah, go for it.
Foo Fighters, Tina Turner, Carole King, The Go-Go's, Jay-Z, and Todd Rundgren were inducted into the performer category. Randy Rhoads, LL Cool J, and Billy Preston were the Early Influence Award. No, I'm sorry, were the Musical Excellence Award, which I think is like a new subcategory they have. Kraftwerk, Gil Scott-Heron, and Charlie Patton were the Early Influence Award, which I think means you're not technically in, but you get a piece of paper. Perhaps most damningly, the following... Well, these two groups did not get in. Devo and New York Dolls. Also, Iron Maiden didn't get in. Rage Against the Machine, Mary J. Blige, Kate Bush, Chaka Khan, Fela Kuti, and Dionne Warwick did not get in. I've got a lot of strong opinions here, so I don't know if you guys want me to kick it off or if somebody wants to kick it off.
Ooh, kick it off a strong opinion.
Well, listen, I used to be relatively pro Rock Hall of Fame, and I've been to the Rock Hall of Fame 20 years ago, and it was cool. They had a lot of cool things to look at, and I really did enjoy going. That being said, over the past 5-6 years, credibility-wise, they are just torching themselves, and they've got no credibility left. And like, first of all, the question is it the Rock Hall of Fame or is it the Music Hall of Fame? I've got no problem with the Music Hall of Fame. I've got no problem changing the name. That's totally fine. Jay-Z is not rock. I mean, and I don't mean that as an – he's hip-hop. It's almost an insult to call him rock because he's hip-hop. He's one of the most seminal hip-hop artists of all time. So is it the Rock Hall of Fame or is it the Music Hall of Fame? I don't care which, but let's straighten out the name. But that's actually the least important issue. The second most important issue is it the – Good Music Hall of Fame, or is it the Record Sold Hall of Fame? You know, because if it's the Good Music Hall of Fame, there's no excuse for the New York Dolls and Devo to not be in there, right? If it's the Record Sold Hall of Fame, okay, that's why the Foo Fighters are in there. But unless it's the Record Sold Hall of Fame, there is absolutely no reason. I mean, well, the reason unless it's the Record Sold Hall of Fame, there is no reason for the Foo Fighters to be in there. The Foo Fighters is a bland rock band that no one would care about if Kurt Cobain was still alive, and that's the truth. The only reason anyone cares about the Foo Fighters is honestly because they're the last lingering dinosaur of rock and roll. Sadly, I wish rock and roll was still around or more popular, but maybe I don't. Maybe it would be less interesting. But at any rate, there are way more interesting rock bands than the Foo Fighters. They are a boring, generic rock band. And the only reason why they're popular is because they've got their Nirvana connection and because they're inoffensive and they rock. That's what they do. And Dave Grohl smiles. And I still don't – everyone loves Dave Grohl except for one guy that I know. And I trust the one guy that I know and I think he's right. Right. I think Dave Grohl's a big phony. Maybe I'm wrong, and if I'm wrong, I apologize. And Dave Grohl can call me up and say, John, you got me all wrong. I just want to rock, you know, and I'll be like, fine. You know, I wish – and I'm not even a White Stripes fan. I could take White Stripes or leave them. But Jack White is legit. He is earnest. I wish Jack White was the fame of Foo Fighters, you know. But like, the Foo Fighters are a boring band, and – they really annoyed me. It's like on the Twitter, they're like, looks like one of the Germs got into the Hall of Fame. First of all, you're wrong. It's two Germs, jackass. One of the Go-Go's was in the Germs too. You know,
which, yes.
You're trying to pump your cred and you're blowing your cred. Second of all, it's like, you know, you tend to throw out the Germs thing like when it's useful to you. But like when it's not, like you don't seem to care. Like it's almost like you use the Germs at you've bought yourself cred. Like, what is Pat Smear really – I'm not dissing Pat Smear. What is he really doing in the Foo Fighters? He kind of just stands there and you can say, well, we've got the Germ in the band. But do you do anything dangerous like the Germs? Do you have any crazy lyrics like the Germs? No, you're just a boring, boring rock band. And that's fine. I got no problem with you being a boring rock band. But what I do have a if people want to go give money to Dave Grohl, whatever. It's not the end. There's way worse injustices in the world than Dave Grohl getting money, you know. But at Dave Grohl taking the spot of Devo, there is no excuse for Dave Grohl taking the spot of Devo, one of the most influential bands of all time, or New York Dolls. Without question, there would be no Sex Pistols if there was no New York Dolls. There might not be Ramones if there's no New York Dolls. There might not be the Stooges. Well, actually, I take that back. I'm totally wrong about that. However, there are pretty much every modern punk rock band is influenced by the New York Dolls, without a doubt. I mean, the New York Dolls are – if you look at what was happening in 1973 when the New York Dolls released their first album, and you look at the New York Dolls are so far ahead of everyone else. But only they are so far ahead of everyone else, they are so insanely good. That first New York Dolls album is one of the best albums of all time. It is astoundingly good. Ditto for Devo. And the only reason I'm not pumping up Devo as much is because I like New York Dolls slightly more than Devo, and I like Devo, but Devo is also exceptionally important, you know. And so that's cool if they want to put Dave Grohl in or whatever, but Dave Grohl before the New York Dolls, the only difference between – the only thing Dave Grohl has over New York Dolls is he sold more records. How has the Foo Fighters influenced rock and roll? They haven't. How have the Foo Fighters radically changed rock and roll? The whole thing is they haven't. They're just kind of modern rock distilled down to its least offensive forms, but also most rocking forms. That's all the Foo Fighters is, you know. So I just think there's no credibility left whatsoever. And so but not only is there no credibility left, it's starting to become, I guess, toxic. And I don't like using that word loosely, but it's like, well, now you really are burning the New York Dolls. Now you really are burning Devo. You know, I don't think Judas Priest ever got in either. People are like, oh, Iron Maiden should have got in. Well, Judas Priest should have gotten way before Iron Maiden. You know, I don't know why people are so upset about Iron Maiden not getting in. Judas Priest destroys Iron Maiden. Judas Priest is before Iron Maiden. They're better than Iron Maiden. They got more records than Iron Maiden. They're better alive than Iron Maiden. I don't know why people weren't nearly as upset about Judas Priest not getting his Iron Maiden. So the point being is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's just a company, you know. That's what it is. It's a company. It doesn't really have any true – I mean, the point for them is to make money. So the distaste comes from they're trying to assert themselves as auteurs and tastemakers and a honorary official. They're trying to pass themselves off as we're the people that get to decide who and who is not worthy for great canonization. Well, you're wrong. You don't have that authority. And by putting Dave Grohl in before the New York Dolls and Devo just goes to show you really don't have any credibility. But for some reason, people still care, although I do feel as though the amount of people caring is getting less and less. And that's probably because rock and roll is costing themselves credibility. And it's also because people probably don't care about rock quite as much anymore. I mean, Kraftwerk should definitely be in. Kraftwerk has influenced every single electronic band ever. Kraftwerk, Kraftwerk, Kraftwerk. They should have been the first time. You know, I mean, really. And so as a Tina Turner definitely should be in. She's in before, but that's rather Tina Turner's in. Carole King should be in. Go-Go's definitely should be in. I'm glad they're in. Todd Rundgren, he famously doesn't care at all, but I mean, he's influential. So I don't really have a beef with that. Jay-Z, I only have a beef with it just because I don't even really care that Jay-Z's in, but I do think like that Devo and New York Dolls and KRS-One and Public Enemy should get in before Jay-Z, although maybe Public Enemy is in already. But anyways, Ice-T then, or before. I mean, Jay-Z is cool, but Jay-Z is just famous. I mean, he's a good rapper. I don't think he's nearly the best. He's a good rapper. He's a great marketer. But is he the epitome of hip-hop? No, KRS-One is way better than Jay-Z. You know, Ice-T is way better than Jay-Z. You know, Nicki Minaj is way better than Jay-Z, although she's not eligible yet. You know, but it just goes to show, and this is a surprise to no one, and I don't know why I'm this upset, but and I'm not really, but I sort of am. It's the money making Hall of Fame, fine, but you know, it just annoys me that like it does hurt people's feelings. I know Halford really wanted to get in. I feel bad for David Johansen. He's a very sensitive guy, and I'm sure this annoys him at least a little bit. And I know Devo kind of wanted to get in, and I'm sure this hurts. Like they should be in. It's ridiculous. Anyways, enough said.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like how much do we care, right? Like that's the question we all like are asking ourselves is like, is it like what category do we put the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in? Do we put it in the category of like a fun museum and like a dumb concert that's like kind of sort of fun to watch every year and like, you know, or is it really supposed to be this definitive thing that tells us what music is important and what music isn't as important? You know, it's like, I'm not even sure exactly how I feel about it. I kind of love the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think mostly because I have such attachment, because I really love the museum. I have such attachment to the museum. And I do, you know, I don't know if I totally agree with you, John, about the credibility thing, because I actually feel like in a lot of ways they kind of reclaimed a little bit of credibility this year, just in terms of like some of the people that got in that I think had been like big oversights in the past. You know, but it's like, it's also like you can't you can't just like let everybody in because then it's not as exciting. And then I don't know. I'm kind of glad I don't have to make these decisions about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because I think all these artists are amazing and I would just let them all in, you know, but that's not kind of not the format, right? That's like not, and maybe that would be the thing to do. Just like every band that was great and influential, just like have them be in it. You know, like, I don't know. But I, you know, I'm really glad about some of these. I'm super, super excited about, you know, about Carole King and Tina Turner. I think those were oversights. I'm glad to see them in. Go-Go's absolutely freaking belong in. Like, absolutely. Foo Fighters, yeah, probably not. I think most of us probably agree that the Foo Fighters. Although, I actually, you kind of convinced me a little bit in the other direction, John, with what you said about them kind of like holding the torch for rock and roll in a way that like there's really not a lot of other bands around there doing that. So that made me feel like, oh, well, maybe that's part of the reason to induct them, right? Because they're at least still playing this style of music that everybody else has like moved on from, really, right? But I don't know. I think also, yeah, that definitely ties into the money thing, right? Like they want people to tune into the concert. So they need like a somewhat kind of a band that's seen as somewhat current and cool. And so they've got to let in like a Foo Fighters and I don't even know what to do with the hip hop question, because I get where it came out of rock and roll. And so I get why it's included.
A lot of people argue it didn't come out of rock and roll. A lot of people argue that it came out of soul.
Yeah. But didn't soul come out of rock and roll? The lineage? No.
A lot of people argue that rock and roll came out of soul. There's the whole thing with Rocket 88 by Ike Turner. Some people argue that Rocket 88 by Ike Turner is the first rock song. Some people argue that the first rock song is Elvis's Hound Dog. And what's on the flip side of Hound Dog? I can't remember. Is the first rock song. Some people argue Chuck Berry, but I think you can get around Chuck Berry because Rocket 88 is before Chuck Berry and Elvis is before Chuck Berry, you know? Mm. So, you know, it's one of these questions, like, where did hip hop, like, what's the first hip hop song? Like, a lot of people say Sugar Hill Gang, but isn't, like, Jamaican Toasting hip hop? You know, isn't Pigmeat Markham hip hop? You know, so, you know, it's very, very difficult. It's a question with no answer, really, you know?
Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah, I'm glad to see some of these people get inducted and, you know, I'll probably forget to watch the concert, but if I tune into the concert, I'm sure I'll find it like delightfully goofy and I'll probably get like teary eyed at some point because I'm a sentimental person and I like when people give speeches, I get very emotional. So I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this. I guess I choose to feel good feelings about the parts of it that I like, and I choose not to get too worked up about the parts that I don't like, but I see where other people get more worked up about it, you know?
How dare you not get worked up about this completely arbitrary thing that doesn't actually affect anybody's life at all? How dare you not get worked up over this?
Em, are you going to get in a fight with someone over who gets inducted into the Hall of Fame? Are you going to throw down over this stuff?
I already have. I've knocked out some teeth.
Oh, my God. yeah, I don't know. Em, are we supposed to care?
I don't think the Foo Fighters should have been in. I don't think they should have been voted in. This was their first year, wasn't it, of, like, eligibility? Yeah. And, like, yeah.
You don't need for Nirvana.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I found this out today because I was looking up something. Where are we here? Dave Grohl is on the Rock Hall's nominating committee. He's the one who pitched Bad Brains and Devo.
I'll give Dave credit for that. You know what I mean? See, I really like Dave Grohl's in like every documentary, and I think it's just because people ask him, so he doesn't say no. So he gets kind of like bonus points for being a cool dude. But Buzz Osborne says he's a total phony and a fake and a manipulator, and I believe Buzz. But maybe Buzz can be an angry guy, even though he says he's not, but he is.
But, like, for every single person living on planet Earth, aren't there people that you can find that are going to say you're a great human being and people that are going to say you're a shitty human being? Like, that's true for me, for sure.
True, but I respect Buzz Osborne's opinion. And honestly, like, Buzz Osborne doesn't bullshit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, and maybe a curse, not a curse in my life, but a constant, not a constant, but a recurring struggle, not the white word, a recurring annoyance, irritation in my life is everybody I know says, oh, that, you know, Bill's a great guy. Bill's awesome. And I think Bill's a huge dick, and I don't know why everyone else can't see it. You know what I mean? So I think I identify with Buzz Osborne in that way. So maybe I'm the dick. You know?
I don't know. You know, sometimes people just don't like each other. It's, you know, sometimes personalities just, like, don't mesh. And I do mean it. You can find people on this planet that will say, I'm, like, an atrocious person and a terrible collaborator. And then there are people that will say, I absolutely love working with Hallie. I've been so happy to work with Hallie. You know, I just feel like, you know, we're people, we're complex. We have many layers. Some of our layers work with the other people's layers, and some of our layers, like, completely, it's like oil and water. And I, you know, I think Dave Grohl can probably be all of these things, right?
How Solomonic, how Buddha, if you will. All right. So let's talk about people also not getting along. Let's talk about Sleater Kenny. Sleater Kenny are releasing their new album. The album is called Path of Wellness. That's out June 11 via Mom and Pop. As all the listeners, I'm sure, know, Corn Tucker and Carrie Brownstein are in the band. But the drummer, whose name is escaping me right now,
Janet Weiss,
was sort of fired, sort of quit the band before their last album, which was a collaboration with St. Vincent. So a lot of people still have very bitter feelings about that, and some people are digging Sleater Kenny back to a duo and more. What's your stance on the new Sleater Kenny track, Worry, with you?
This is a band I've never been able to get really, like, super into. I've listened to, like, the odd song by them. I don't really understand why. I don't know if it's kind of like, you know, Husker Du, and I haven't had my moment yet, you know, like, one day I'll wake up and that's all I'll listen to. But, like, I don't mind it. I think it's okay. I liked the video. I thought the video was cool. But, yeah, I don't know. I haven't had my big Sleater Kenny moment. I liked the bands, like, that Corin Tucker and Carrie Brownstein were in before. Like, I like Excuse 17 and I like Heavens to Betsy. I don't know what it is, you know? But I thought the video was cool. And I hope that everything's okay. It doesn't sound like everything's okay with them and the drummer, but hopefully one day everything's okay.
Yeah, it's weird that she's not in the band, right? Because I did just really, like, identify it as being these three women making shit together. And, you know, they came on the Chris Gethard show when I was on it, and they were, like, lovely, all of them, like, absolutely lovely to be around, lovely to do a show with. I was so surprised when Janet Weiss wasn't in the band anymore. And I don't know if it was because of that, but I didn't really listen to that St. Vincent produced album. I wasn't like harboring terrible feelings, like, on behalf of Janet Weiss. I think it was just like it mostly was just like it came out at a time that I think I wasn't checking out new stuff, and I never went back to check it out. But I thought this song was cool. It started and I was like, nah, I don't know if I'm gonna be into this. Maybe the post Janet stuff isn't for me. And then I got, like, really drawn in over the course of the song and the video. I think the video is great. The video is like a couple who is in clearly, like, a one bedroom apartment or a very small house during, like, COVID quarantine. And you watch them over the course of the video, just sort of, like, dealing with the having to be in a close proximity with someone and feeling like you're kind of losing your mind and feeling like you love your partner and you hate your partner. And it's just all the things that we've all been feeling from being cooped up. And I thought the video kind of handled that in, I don't know, even like a way that was really interesting and watchable to me. And then I, you know, again, sometimes like a good video can, I think we've talked about this before, like sometimes a video can shut you out from a song. like if you really hate the video, sometimes it makes it harder to like the song, whereas maybe you would have been better off just listening to the song without the video. But I think good videos do the opposite. And I felt like this video really helped crack open this song for me. And I ended up really liking both and feeling like, okay, well, you know, I don't know for what reason exactly Janet isn't making music with them anymore, but I do feel like they're still making good and relevant music. John, did you like this?
I thought the song was cool, great, not amazing. I thought the video was cool and clever. It does say something about my personality. When they kick Janet out of the band, I'm like, how dare they do that to Janet? I hate them. And I don't even really know anything about Slater. I mean, I know Slater Kenny. I've heard Slater Kenny, but I had no emotional investment in the band whatsoever until that happened. I'm like, how dare they do that? I'll never listen to them ever again. And I didn't listen to them before. You know, but it's just exactly true. So like, I mean, honestly, like, creative partnerships are very fraught, and sometimes it seems like party A is the bad guy and party B is the good guy, and sometimes it's completely flipped, or it's not a question of something like Hallie so eloquently said that I'm going to regurgitate and act like it's my thought, even though it was Hallie's just a moment ago, is sometimes people, like, it's not always a question of good and bad or jerk and not jerk. It's just a question of, do these puzzle pieces fit together now, you know? And so I think that's what happened here. But then again, sometimes people do get iced out, and it certainly says something about my personality that I got enraged on behalf of Janet after they kicked her out, where I literally didn't care at all before that happened. You know what I mean? So go Janet. Speaking of something I don't care about, no, I'm kidding. Fest has announced a whole bunch of more bands. The bands added to Fest are Pairs, Direct Hit, Brendan Kelly, Ray of Teenage Bottle Rocket, Elway, Military Gun, Keshi, Pass Away, Heart and Lung, No Man, Camp Trash, Sundowner, which is a spinoff of Lawrence Arms, of course, Antagonizers, ATL, Rat Boys, Be Well, Joystick, Super Bloom, Jen of the Bomb Pops, Castle Lottery, and many more. The headliners are Hot Water Music, Gorilla Biscuits, Frank Turner, Lawrence Arms, Murder by Death, Good Riddance, and many more. And also Into It Over With is playing an album in full, so is Mock Orange, so is the Farewell Benz, and so is Blacklist Royals. A lot of people are very excited about Fest this year. Some of the Proud Boy faction that reads Punk News did make a good point, and I would say a key to success in life and the key to success in conflict is, just because you disagree with someone, just because you don't like somebody, doesn't mean they're weak in all areas. It doesn't mean they're always wrong. Rather, when your opposition has a good point, take that to heart and either strengthen yourself or recognize that point and act around that. And I think many people had a gut reaction to this. We were busted on the whole black and blue thing in Manhattan a couple of weeks ago, as we were right to do. However, a lot of people were like, well, you guys were busted on Black and Blue Fest in Manhattan. You're all going to be down in Fest, you know, hugging on each other without any masks. You're a bunch of hypocrites. And the answer is maybe. You might have a point there. Maybe it is too soon for Fest. Maybe this is unfair and unsafe. I have thoughts on that exact issue, but I'll let Hallie or M go first. And are you interested in seeing this lineup? Chris Gethard playing as well.
there's a lot to dive into there. Are we hypocrites? I'm gonna say no. I mean, the truth is, I feel like the black and blue thing, it was just too early for most people's comfort, especially the people that live in that neighborhood. So I think, like, you know, it's also, we're supposed to be trying to be good citizens and listen to what our elected government officials are telling us to do and how to behave around this pandemic. And I just, you know, obviously that was a larger gathering than is, you know, we're supposed to be doing right now. And we're being asked to still, you know, mask right now. No one was masked. And I hope, my God, please, dear God, I hope that we will have turned a corner with this pandemic by the fall. And, you know, and the thing is that I trust the organizers of Fest to pull the plug on this again if, for whatever reason, it just doesn't seem like it will be safe. They are not trying to make some F you COVID restrictions statement. They're just trying to safely hold a festival. And I think if they do not feel that they're able to do that, they won't do it. And with the black and blue thing, I feel like those guys could have just said our bad, maybe it was just too early to do something like this. And they didn't, they doubled down. So I don't totally see the comparison. I get why people would have that thought, but I just think if you follow the thought through to the end, it's really not the same. I think. What do you guys think? Also, oh my God. Also, I'm very excited about this lineup. I'm going to party. It's going to be amazing. Of all these new bands that were announced, I'm probably the most excited about Rat Boys because Rat Boys are completely amazing and really, really fun to see live if you get an opportunity to see that band live. Okay, now that I'm practically out of breath from talking so much, why don't I make room for you guys to talk?
I agree. I think that if they're, they kind of have everything planned, but if, something was to go wrong and COVID was to have another wave or something, they would handle it in an appropriate manner. And by October, isn't it? Well, what percentage of people in the United States are fully vaccinated now? I know it's pretty high, isn't it? The vaccination rate's pretty good.
I should know that, and I don't know the exact number. I do feel like we're making real progress. I hear differing opinions about whether we're going to reach this, the unicorn that we all called herd immunity. but yeah, I don't have an exact number for you on that, Em. I don't know. Do you know, John?
Word on the street is between 32% to 45%.
Oh,
that's okay. The word on the street.
Okay, but that's still okay. So, Fest doesn't happen until October. So I think that by then, that's a good chunk of time for people to get vaccinated, get all that kind of stuff done, and everything. So I think that the timeline for it happening, everything will be relatively safe. And if it's not, they'll have all the precautions put in place and everything. One interesting thing is Fest is going to be Military Gun's first live show ever. So Military Gun are like a super group kind of thing. It's fronted by Ian Shelton of Regional Justice Center. So they have two new EPs coming out soon, and I think they'd be really cool live, and I think Pairs would be really cool live. I think it would be a really cool fest to go to. I think they have a decent lineup, a good lineup. So.
I think we're kind of all in agreement in that there is a difference between the black and blue thing and Fest, and that Fest is still 5 months away, 4 months away. So things might change a lot by then. And if things aren't already, they might cancel it. So that's the difference. The difference is one party threw things when it was definitely not safe. And the other one is it hasn't happened yet. So we'll see. You can't convict somebody of murder if they have before they kill somebody, So listen, I hope everything's cleared up by then, because I definitely want to go to Punk Rock Bowling. And so we shall see. Let's do another quick story, then we'll play a tune. Suck, my favorite band from Germany right now, just released a new 7-inch. The 7-inch is called Cop Killer, and the flip side is Hell in Heaven. And I think this 7-inch rocks. It follows their EP, which was called Frog, and they also had a split EP with another band. And the new 7-inch is coming out this June via Easy Records. And the A side is just them doing basically the song's 1:20, but if you take out the intro, it's literally 45 seconds long, and it kind of bites from Rise Above. and in an awesome way. And I absolutely love this band. I think this band is one of the most exciting new punk bands. The flip side is their homage to Metallica, and I hated it at first, and now I love it because it's not like their new direction. It's just kind of a it's the perfect B side. It's them doing something different than you expect them to do on the B side of a 7-inch single. So I love this band. I am psyched for this. And honestly, I hope they don't spend too much time with like they've put out one killer EP, a killer 7-inch, a very good split. Now's the time for an album. Let's not keep putting out, EPs and kind of sheer mag ourselves. Let's keep the hype building and let's really slam it out of the park with an album because they've got the goods. I'm telling you, I dig this. Halle Bullet, suck. Thumbs up, thumbs down, side to side.
Thumbs up. I mean, I don't like it as much as you do, but I'm totally willing to admit that that's just probably just because I don't, it's just not for me, but I can still look at what they're doing and see that they're excellent at it. And I do like Cop Killer. I think that's a good song. I could maybe, I don't know. I'm sorry, Em. I couldn't deal with the metal B-side as much. I'm curious to hear if you liked it or not, but yeah, I think this band is really good at what they do. What did you think, Em? Were you into the metal B-side? I couldn't do it.
I loved Cop Killer. I thought it was really good with that Hell and Heaven thing. I kind of thought, oh, ooh, they're gonna do like a Black Sabbath-y type thing, and all that. And then, oh, they're influenced by Metallica, and then that kind of made me laugh because it's like the drummer can actually drum, so how much are they really influenced by them? But I'm in a feud with Lars in my mind, so.
I approve of that. Let's make it a real thing, Ed. Let's make it real.
Yes. Yeah. I still need to make a Twitter account. That's gonna be like the first thing.
Well,
but no,
oh, go
sorry.
ahead. Go
No, go
ahead.
ahead. But I thought it was good.
Word. Okay. Well, that I'm expecting great things for Suck. And honestly, I hope they tour the USA. And I would love to see them live. Let's play a tune. Who's got a tune to play? Haley, hit them.
All right. What's this tune I want to play? Okay, this is like I feel like I've been playing a lot of emo lately, which is like not always totally my thing, but I don't know. Maybe I just it's just where my head is at. I also I think I mentioned before, I do feel like there's like a brand of emo that's kind of getting back to some of like where I consider to be like the start of emo. Some of the first, like I've talked up Braid on this podcast. There's just like I'm hearing some like guitar work and some of the emo that's coming out right now that I really liked because it reminds me of like the very first emo that I loved. And so this is a Florida emo band. They're called Home Is Where. This song is called Assisted Harakiri, and it's off I Became Birds. And I love the guitar work on this song. I think it's like awesome. And so yeah, I think this is catchy and I hope people are into it.
USSR.
And we are back, and that was some more emo for you. Now we're going to talk about Viagra Boys. Em, tell us all about Viagra Boys, this band I've heard a lot about and haven't heard at all.
Okay, I would recommend trying to listen to Viagra Boys, because they are, they're really something, I think is the best way to describe them. Because the first time I listened to them, I listened to Sports, and I wasn't really sure what to make of it, because like he's... it's such like a kind of like a deadpan delivery, which I like. I think it's really cool. And, you know, he's like sports, baseball, basketball, wiener dog, and like all this kind of stuff. And it's like everything's like flying around. So they have like a post-punky sound. There's a saxophone, there's keyboards, there's synths at one point. There's guitars, there's all this kind of stuff. Like, not all songs sound the same. Like, they're wildly different. Or some are wildly different. They're not all wildly different. But they're really, really interesting. And two things that come up a lot in the songs are shrimp and dogs. And, what's it called? Where are we? So, with all the references to shrimp, they have, like, all their live sessions are called Shrimp Sessions, and, like, they have a company called Shrimp Tech Industries, which they actually, so, the band's from Sweden, and they incorporated this Shrimp Tech Industries as an actual company, so the company owns the band, and it's them who owns the company, which I think is just, like, really cool, and... One of their live shrimp sessions is recorded in an active warehouse. So, like, they're performing live and all this kind of stuff. And then forklifts are driving by and, like, stuff's going on in the background. And it's great. I thought it was really something. This is a band I would see live, like, 100%. At the beginning, I wasn't sure. But then it's like, you know, the more I listen to them, the more I like them and the more they've grown on me. So Another thing I wanted to mention was they have a great website too. Like, if you go on, their homepage has Bob the Fortune Dog on it, and it's this like CGI golden retriever thing, and it's like rotating, and then there's an input below it, and it says, ask your questions here. So then questions will like flash. So one's like, is this a robbery? And another one's, should I commit tax fraud? So you can like type it in and the dog will give you an answer, and it's like misfortune guaranteed and all this kind of stuff. So like the band, they're making music that like they're tackling issues, like they're tackling toxic masculinity and right wing organizations, like all that kind of stuff. And there's lots of satire and they have humor in their lyrics, and I think that they're definitely worth a listen, because it's, I can honestly say I don't think I've heard anything quite like them before. And that's always a good sign in a band.
Indeed, I agree 100%. I will check out this band. This is the Buzz Band of the Buzz Bands, so we'll check them out. Speaking of a band that was a Buzz Band many years ago, 7 Seconds are reissuing their seminal first album, The Crew. It's out via Trust Records. It's going to be a deluxe reissue. It's got remastered sound. It's got reflections by Ian MacKaye, Chela Biafra, Keith Morris, Damien Abraham, Brian Baker, Fat Mike, Roger Miret, Mark and Sean Stern, and other people. They re-released one remastered track, "Young Till I Die." I'll kick this off. People love 7 Seconds. People that I totally respect, Keith Morris, Chela Biafra, they love Damien Abraham. They love 7 Seconds. I hear 7 Seconds and I'm like, this is Minor Threat, but not good. And the weird thing is, we're like, they 7 Seconds. They really kicked it off. I'm like, 7 Seconds came along like while Dead Kennedys were like winding down, while Circle Jerks already had their first three legendary albums, while Ian MacKaye had Minor Threat had been broken up for like, well, Minor Threat was winding down. Like I don't know why all these legendary guys that are first wave always look to 7 Seconds as like this forefront of a certain type of hardcore, when to me they're like at the end of the trend and are not as good, and the songwriting is not as good, and the production is not as good, and the lyrics are not as good. If anything, I do think it forecasts like bands like Gorilla Biscuits, which I'm not a fan of, but I just don't get 7 Seconds. To me, it just sounds like a middle of the road, late to the party hardcore band. But so many musicians that I respect are like 7 Seconds are the deal. What am I missing? Halle Bullet, what am I missing here?
No, see, I'm the worst person. That I feel just the same as you, John. And like, I have respect for this band because I know, like, not just as musicians, but also I feel like kind of just as a band, as a band of people, I feel like this band is super beloved. But like, I got like Walk Together, Rock Together, and I listened to it and I was like, meh.
Right.
And I was like, well, I can't. And then I literally just never bothered to listen to them again, which is, it's probably on me. I should probably not just like listen to one CD and then like make my the whole judgment about a band. But so yeah, so I don't know. I can't. I wish I had like another angle to add to this conversation, but I don't.
And more, what do you think?
I never got into 7 Seconds. I'm sorry. I never did. I want to read the book that it comes with, because I think that sounds really interesting, and like lots of great contributors, so like that'd be really cool. The song was okay. I don't really have too much about it. But good for the people who are re reissuing
Maybe that's the thing. Like maybe everyone thinks everyone loves 7 Seconds. Everyone's like, oh yeah, 7 Seconds. And Chela Biafra's like, oh yeah, seven. I better put out their first 7-inch because everyone loves them. And like no one actually likes them. Man,
The truth
I don't know.
comes out.
If one of the listeners can explain why 7, I've had this I've had this happen a lot, is like everyone be like, oh, so and so is such a great band. And you're like, well, why? And they'll be like, because it's great, but why? And they'll be like, the music. and you're like, okay, what's great about the music? It's well done. You know, it's like, so if one of the listeners can tell me what's great about 7 seconds, I'm definitely willing to give them a 19th chance. But listen, let's talk about another old school band that is kicking it out, DFL. They've released the first track from their new EP. DFL, of course, formed back in the early 90s as a side project between Monty Messick's Crazy Tom and the Beastie Boys. And the Beastie Boys, Adam Yonk and Mike D, are on the first couple of records. They broke up around 98 or 99, but they recently – well, they reformed in 2013, but this is their first EP in a long, long time. And the debut track is called Why Are You DFL, and it's out via Spam Records. And people, this tune rips. Let me tell you why this is a good song. The riff is banging. The lyrics are banging. It's an abstract song. Like, Crazy Tom's like, why are you DFL? Why are you DFL? I don't even know what that means, but I feel like it means something, you know? And so DFL is rad and awesome. And I can tell you why DFL is great. And also, it's only a minute long, and it kicks ass, and I'm very excited for this new EP. I'm a big fan of DFL. And, like, honestly, whenever any band comes back after a long hiatus, it usually isn't good. This is awesome, and this is as good as anything during their 90s era. This rocks.
It's, yeah, this is great. I got really excited about this. I also really like when bands can successfully incorporate their band name into a song and have it not be like a Wang Chung horrible situation. So, you know, tip my hat to them for that. Yeah, I thought this was great. I'm excited for this. Em, is this for you?
Yes. Yeah, this was great.
Three thumbs up.
Yes. The EP is going to be great. Can't wait till it comes out.
If only I could feel this way about 7 seconds. You know? We got two more stories. We Are the Union have released a new track. It's called Boys Will Be Girls. As I'm sure all the listeners know, ska is in full force right now, aided in part by Aaron Karn's book, In Defense of Ska. We had Aaron on the podcast, maybe like 2 months ago or something. And I did an assault style interview, and it shook Adam White up a great deal, and I'm glad it did. And the book is out. The book is cool, and you know the ska bands are getting bigger and bigger. And we've been talking about this. And listen, I want my kudos. 5 or 6 months ago, I'm like, listen, people, ska is growing. I don't know why, but ska is growing. And everyone's like, John, ska is not growing. And now, like, ska is a thing right now again. But We Are the Union is one of the main bands on the ska resurgence, along with Bad Operation, along with Catbite, along with Bite Me Bambi, and I'm missing the other big, Kill Lincoln. And so people are really getting hyped about ska, along with Jeff Rosenstock's ska album. So people are getting really hyped. We Are the Union have released this video called Boys Will Be Girls. I'll kick it off. Here's what I found interesting about this record. We Are the Union, I'm certainly not a hater, but I'm not a huge fan of We Are the Union. For me, they're a little too third wave ska, honestly. But I did kind of like this song. I didn't love the song, but I liked it. But what I found most interesting about it is it's not like a straight-up ska song with, like, people just being obnoxious. It's almost like Madness during, like, their middle period where they were kind of shifting away from ska into, like, 80s Brit pop. Our House, the big hit. And to me, that's exactly what this felt like. It almost sounded like an 80s pop hit in the good way. And, you know, when something's an 80s pop hit, you could be in the bad way or the good way. This is in the good way. I didn't love it, but I liked it. I liked how the video was one of these iconic white screen videos where almost everything is white and the band does something on it. I'm not a big fan of gross out videos. And in this video, they sort of paint on each other, but it's kind of symbolic. So I didn't – I liked the video. I thought the video was amusing. But I do find it interesting that just as ska is starting to pop, and just as We Are the Union, one of the forefront of modern ska, they're like, well, let's not do straight up ska. Let's kind of do Madness mid-period style ska, which is We Are the Union maybe pulling the best move at all, whereas some compatriots might drive ska back into the ground. We Are the Union will sort of step away from it and utilize ska as needed, but not be as dedicated to ska. Because, I mean, when you think about it, when people – and actually, I'm getting deeper here. When people talk about ska, they're not actually talking about ska. Ska is upstrokes and obnoxious horns. That's ska. When people talk about ska, they don't talk about that. They talk about the meaning behind the ska. the breaking, the crossing of cultural boundaries, the unification, the anti-racist status. That's what people talk about when they say ska. That's for, at a literal level, that's got nothing to do with the music. You know, that's got everything to do with the culture behind it. So maybe by saluting ska, we should be saluting the culture of ska and not the obnoxious upstrokes and horn blasts. And what do you think?
I agree. All for the culture of ska. Also, don't mind the odd obnoxious horn blast. They've kind of grown on me, like, in the past year. So, you know, I don't know what that says. But all for ska. I thought the video was good. I really liked the video. The song was okay, but I liked the message of the song. I really liked the video. The video was great. All the colors, all the paint, and all the, you know, like, kind of fuck the gender binary thing. Like, that was awesome. So, big fan of the video. And I will listen to more of them.
I really appreciated the message of the song and the message of the video. I just felt like it was, like, I felt like I was listening to, like, if, like, Disney Channel or, like, High School Musical was trying to put out a song about gender fluidity. You know, it seemed
too,
like...
Too real, Hallie Bullitt, too real.
Sorry, I just didn't like it. And I felt like the video was just oversimplified. Like, okay, I get it. Like, you have blue paint and pink paint, and then if you combine them, it's purple. Like, I felt like the intentions were so good, but in the end, I felt like it was just so oversimplifying the ideas that they were going for that it almost felt like it just came out the other side to being like patronizing or something. I wasn't into it, but I fully support the message. And as we all know, I support people making music, and it doesn't all have to be for me. So, you know, I'm so glad to hear that. Like, John, I agree with you. There is something about the song that it's not just like third wave ska. There was something just more kind of straightforward and maybe poppy, or I was hearing it as Disney, but like you were hearing it as just like 80s pop. And Emma, like I'm glad you liked the video, because I couldn't, but I'm glad people are getting something out of this. Too real, huh? Sorry.
I can sympathize with Hallie's position. The third wave ska wars of the 90s were brutal. A lot of damage, a lot of inflicted in those wars, you know. The second question is, this is a question that you and I face. You know, this doesn't necessarily, well, here's the question that you and I face, Hallie, and Emma as well, but I think Hallie and I perhaps more so. You know, we came across that quote, just because something isn't for you doesn't mean it's not something for everyone, right?
Yeah.
Which is, it's like too real, you know? but does that mean we can't criticize anything, or we can never give our opinion? You know what I mean? Some things are just bad. And I'm not saying this is just bad, because I don't think this is just bad. But, you know, like you know, screamo bands are just bad. No.
I mean, yes. I mean, I think I basically just said that I think this is bad. So I hope it's okay to say that. I mean, you know, again, like I'm glad they're making music, and I mean that. I'm not just saying that to like then somehow like say something mean and then try to like whitewash it. I really do feel that. I like when people are making art. I think the world is better when people are making art. But to me personally, Hallie, I think this is bad art. And I think I am allowed to say that, right? Aren't I? I have to
be. Yeah, yeah. Because I'm always for beating up on ska, especially now that it's popular. I have to resort to my attack what's ever popular, what everyone likes. Whereas you could just join the crew and have a nicer time and enjoy things. No, attack what the majority likes.
I mean, I think if you wanted to make a song and a video that explains to children about like non-binary sexuality, then this is great. But I'm a grown adult. It's not for me.
Let's talk about something that is, at least for me, and I think for Em and Hallie as well, but we'll find out. Our last news item of the evening, Andrew WK. He's coming back with a new album, which was somewhat surprising because generally he only releases like a new album every like 10 years. But this album comes out like 2 or 3 years after his last album. The new album is called God Is Partying. The debut video is called I'm in Heaven. And it's got kind of an industrial slash death metal riff to it. And I love it. I as a performer, I'm a massive Andrew WK fan. I've seen him live 3 times, twice with like the electronic backing, once with him and Marky Ramone, and all 3 times were awesome. I've never seen him with the Andrew WK band. I've heard his records before, and I like his records, but to me, a lot of them are kind of samey. That being said, I don't know why. I thought this video was fantastic, and I thought the song was fantastic. As listeners might know, ever since Andrew WK debuted, there's been this really weird thing as to whether or not the current Andrew WK is the original Andrew WK, or if he's an actor portraying the original Andrew WK. There's this, and you literally could spend days researching this thing, but there's this thing called Steve Mike, where Andrew WK has claimed this guy Steve Mike has unfairly manipulated his career. And for a while, there's like this whole website, and every once in a while, like Andrew WK's Facebook, it'll be like, this is Steve Mike, and it'll be like slandering Andrew WK. And the question is, and no one knows the answer. People have tried to solve this, and no one's been able to solve this. The question is, is it all one big art piece? B, is it real and that there actually is some weird guy named Steve Mike that is like trying to defeat Andrew WK and the real Andrew WK isn't this Andrew WK? Or is Andrew WK genuinely insane? And no one knows, and it is one of the deepest mysteries in music. And if it's an art piece, Andrew WK is handling it amazingly, because generally when something is an art piece, you can kind of tell. Like when Hallie, who was that guy, the actor? He like went on Dave Letterman, like chewed gum and like put on Dave Letterman's desk.
Was it Phoenix? Yeah. What's his first name?
River Phoenix is his
brother. Right, his brother. Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah.
Like you could kind of tell that was like not real, you know. But with the Andrew WK thing, I can't tell that it's not real. And this video. And this suggests that maybe it is not real, because this video has Andrew WK dressing up as Andrew WK and killing Andrew WK. And it is a mind blow of a video. The track itself, not the greatest track ever, but I would say it's an excellent track. It kind of starts out in the industrial and warps that industrial into like a death metal riff while Andrew WK just howls on top that he's in heaven. And it might be a love song about his current girlfriend, Elijah Dushku or whatever her name is. But I am totally interested, and I'm going to point out Andrew WK. I've interviewed him once. Awesome dude to me. Also, Andrew W. You know, I cry. I'll be like, oh, you know, this cool person doesn't want to be on Punk News podcast. Oh, this cool person won't, you know, do an interview with us. When we put out Punk News mixtape number 1, the My Org mixtape, I emailed Andrew WK's people. I'm like, can we put an Andrew WK song on it? And they're like, yeah, here you go. And I was like, wow, thanks. So Andrew WK gets thumbs up all around for me. I think this video is awesome. I think this song is very good. I'm very interested.
Em, tell me what you thought about this.
This was great. This was good. I liked it. The video was so cool. Yeah, like all the Andrew WK is like running around and like he's directing his own video and he's like out of it and watching himself and like all that kind of stuff. That's so cool. And I want more videos because I want the saga to continue. Like I want this in more videos because it just like it ends with one of him leaving. So I want to know what happens next. I thought the song was really good. Well, not really good. I thought it was okay. I thought it was good. I thought it was really catchy. I have it going through my head right now. I've listened to other music. It is now back. But the part where, you know, it's like, oh, I'm in heaven and all that. And then it like switches and he's like, and I'm in hell. And then it was like, yep, this is the song. Like that was kind of where it was like, it turned and it was great. So I'll definitely listen to more of him. I haven't really listened to a lot of his music. He does look like somebody who'd be like absolutely like nuts to see live. Like I definitely want to see him live because that seems like a really good experience.
It's crazy. And it is crazy. It is crazy good.
So fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt this video made me feel like I was I didn't know all of this backstory, John, that you just filled us in on. And but it explains something, because I watching this video, I did feel like I was descending into someone's like madness. Like I really did feel that I was being drawn into someone's like very disturbed mental state. It found it really unsettling, which, you know, again, that's like, that means it's effective. I don't know. It was really the song. I'm with you guys. I thought it was like good. I thought it was like a fine song. One of the commenters on the website made me laugh because they asked, they commented, did Andrew WK recently discover Nine Inch Nails? Which I thought that made me laugh. I thought that was, I was like, oh yeah, that is kind of what I'm hearing here. But yeah, I don't know. It was like really, I think I have to force myself to watch it again, even though I kind of don't want to. It really kind of creeped me out. But there's something really, definitely something like real and dark happening in this video, right? Something like very real and very dark.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm excited. I'm going to try to get it. We'll see if we can get an interview with him. I'd love to get an interview with him again. Yeah, man, this is cool. I'm excited for this. And more play song, and we'll come back and we'll wrap this bad boy on up.
All right. So the song I have this week, they are a Nashville-based hardcore band called Third Face. And the song I'm going to play is called Villains, and it has an exclamation mark at the end. And it's off of their album, Do It With a Smile, that was released in March of this year. And here you go. So enjoy.
Right.
And that was Villains. So let's wrap the show on up. Either next week or the week after, we will have Chris Gethard on. We're excited about that. Next week, we will have M. Moore's extra episode debut, which I'm excited about. Hallie Bullitt, any closing words you want the listeners to know?
Nah.
And more, anything you want the listeners to know? And more, anything you want the listeners to know?
Wear masks. Wash your hands. Keep listening to the Punk News Podcast.
Wise words to live by. And, of course, the Architects of Self-Destruction, the Oral History of Leftover Crack, was out August 10. You can get pre-orders now, just today. Brad Logan and I submitted our final things for the book. It's looking rad. You can get that at Rare Bird Books or Amazon, but get it at Rare Bird Books because screw Amazon. Also, I think we get more money that way. And we'll see you next week. All right. Yeah, man. Yeah.
John, nice, you guys.
I found something good about your book, too. You can pre-order it from Chapters in Canada, and you get, like, such a better deal on shipping.
Okay. Listeners, yes. I'm coming back. Emma, just point out one other thing about my book. Emma, what did you point out about my book?
If you are in Canada, you can order John's book, Architects of Self-Destruction, from Chapters, and your shipping will be, like, nothing because it ships within Canada.
Yeah. And we'll really see you next week.